Welcome and thank you for joining us for the service at Plymouth Presbyterian Church in St. Helens, Oregon. This is from the September 14th, 2025 service at Plymouth, the 14th Sunday after Pentecost, and Disability Inclusion Sunday. The sermon will be delivered by Pastor Peter Blank.
Have you come here to grumble?
No.
We're here to rejoice.
Oh, are you lost?
No, we're found.
Okay, I see. Do you seek a welcome at this table?
Yes.
We're here to let go of the past and be fresh.
We are here to celebrate the joy of heaven.
We are here to feast with Christ, our Lord.
Wonderful! You're in the right place.
You're welcome here.
Let's worship God together.
Next is the hymn, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. Next is the hymn, Something Beautiful.
Spirit is saying to the church. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They do abominable deeds. There is none that does good. The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any that act wisely, that seek after God. They have all gone astray. They are all alike corrupt. There is none that does good. No, not one. They have no knowledge, all the evildoers, who eat up my people as they eat bread and do not call upon the Lord. There they shall have great terror, for God is with the generation of the righteous. You would confound the plans of the poor, but the Lord is his refuge. Oh, that deliverance for Israel would come out of Zion. When the Lord restores the fortunes of his people, Jacob shall rejoice. Israel shall be glad. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Next is the hymn, God is so good.
We've been meandering our way through the epistles of the New Testament, so many of them written by Paul, but not all of them. We turn now to 1 Timothy. Timothy, a young, faithful follower of our Lord, Paul looked to him as a disciple and as a child in faith that he had instructed and has worked along with. We read from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 17. I'm reading from the Message translation. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. I'm so grateful to Jesus Christ for making me adequate to do this work, Paul says. He went out on a limb, you know, entrusting me with this ministry. The only credentials I brought to it were violence. And the kind of violence with hunts and with arrogance. But I was treated mercifully because I didn't know what I was doing, didn't know who I was doing it against. Grace mixed with faith and love poured over me and into me, and all because of Jesus. Here's a word you can take to heart and you can depend on it. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, and I'm proof. Public sinner number one, someone who could never have made it apart from sheer mercy. And now Jesus shows me off, evidence of God's endless patience to those who are right on the edge of trusting Christ forever. Deep honor and bright glory to the King of all time. One God, immortal, invisible, ever and always. Oh, yes. I'm passing this work on to you, my son Timothy. The prophetic word that was directed to you, prepared for us, is this. All those prayers are coming together now so that you will do this very well. Fearless in your struggle, keeping a firm grip on your faith and on yourself. After all, this is a fight that we're in. There are some, you know, who by relaxing their grip and thinking anything goes that have made a thorough mess of their faith. Hymenaeus and Alexander are two of them. I let them wander off to Satan to be taught a lesson or two about not blaspheming. This is the word of the Lord. It is hard to end a passage with a phrase like that. But here we are, and we're here to focus in on the theme that runs through this passage as well as the entire letter to Timothy, and that is overflowing mercy. Someone has once wisely said that the only constant in life is change. We know it well. Our hair changes hairline, changes color. Our children grow up and move out. Then grandchildren come along to, well, humble us again. I was with my grandchildren yesterday, and yes, we were doing a spinning game. And then as the game itself stopped, well, Grandpa kept spinning and had the hardest time not taking out the entire outdoor furniture that was nearby. Yes, these grandkids humble us again. But there are other changes as well. The economy shifts, jobs are lost or granted. Marriages sometimes break down. Loved ones pass away. Life changes and it keeps changing. Most of us would like to try and change the tempo of life, doing our best to sort of maintain the status quo, just hold on where we are for now. We've used the idea of moving to larger homes as our families grow, or we relocate for better jobs. We make new friends as our kids join new activities. We find a church in a new community that anchors us. And yet, underneath it all, most of us would rather that nothing at all changed. We like our routines. Just ask me, if I were to miss my morning coffee, well, I would be grouch number one, and you would be quite able to see it at work. Yeah. We like our routines. We like our familiar friends, our unchallenged attitudes. By the time we reach 30, some say we are set in patterns that will last a lifetime. Have you found that to be true? I have. But here's the good news. In the midst of constant change, one thing that does not change, and that is God's overflowing mercy. When mercy breaks into our lives, life itself takes on a new direction. There are three kinds of changes that we often have come upon us. The first is a joyful one. It comes from some joyful event, like a wedding, like a birth of a child, a grandchild, a new job. There are other times when change forces itself upon us for other reasons, and it comes through tragedy, a sudden death, a devastating diagnosis, a catastrophic event. For us, we can think of September 11th. We can think of Hurricane Katrina. We can think of the tragedy going on right now in Gaza. We can think of the war being waged in Ukraine. People are uprooted from everything familiar, and they are challenged to begin again. Life itself will never look the same. Not in preparation for the sermon, but this weekend, Friday going into the weekend, I watched a movie, somewhat of a documentary, but mainly a movie, The Children of Windermere. It was a place where 300 children survivors of World War II, that after their time in concentration camps, and most if not all their families were murdered before their eyes or starved to death or gassed or any number of things, they came to Britain and around Lake Windermere started a new life. The struggles that they faced, that the first time bread that was put on the table and they were beginning to hear the Jewish prayer that starts every meal, all the kids grabbed bread and ran off and hid with it. And if they could have one slice or one loaf, they grabbed as much as they could and ran immediately. Because that was what life was like in the concentration camp. And the amazing story, as these young lives had a chance to start over as the war had ended, there was no more Nazism. There was no Hitler. They got a new chance and a new start. Life never looked the same again for them. So those are two kinds of changes. Joyful ones, tragic ones. But a third kind of change comes when people like you and I encounter God in our lives. The most radical change of all happens then. And it was true for the Apostle Paul. By his own admission, he was once a blasphemer, a persecutor, a man of violence. And then on the Damascus road, Christ met him with overflowing mercy. And Paul's life was turned upside down. He never got over it. He told his story, his own testimony, at least three times in Acts and again in his letters, including a brief glimpse of it here in Timothy. And as he talked about the change, instead of resenting it any way, Paul gives thanks. He gives us a hint of embracing change and welcoming it in our lives as an opportunity that God is bringing into our lives, that a new ending begins to be written. Paul gave thanks. He embraced it as an opportunity to live a new life, to count his blessings, to lean wholly on God's mercy. Paul's story is not unique. Many of us have our own before and after stories. Before I knew God's love, I was like this. And after God's love visited me, took hold of my life and would not let me go, there's this me of me. A clergy friend once told me about a saint that he had in his congregation. This saint was very generous, loving, very prayerful man. Everyone in that congregation admired him. But when it came to a time to sit down, that pastor and that member of his congregation, and as the man shared his testimony, the pastor was stunned by what he heard. Because this man's past included alcoholism, included raging anger, and in his marriage, even infidelity. His family was torn apart. And then one day, he met Christ at a tent revival. And there at that tent revival began a constant change starting that night. He quit drinking. He learned to master his temper, his tongue, and began rebuilding his family. And today, as he talks about his life and the before and the after, he says with humility, "Thank God I'm not the man I used to be." That, my friends, is a glimpse of overflowing mercy. Mercy that forgives the past, all its ugliness, and mercy that makes us into new beings. Mercy doesn't just apply a patch to where air is leaking out. Not just a patch, but transforms us from the inside out. Paul talks about his past being forgiven, that he's set free from guilt and shame. And then God gave Paul the power to change. Filled by the Holy Spirit, Paul became more than he ever dreamed possible. As he talks about, all things, yes, all things become possible with God. And that is the truth of overflowing mercy. A funny thing happens along the way of the before and the after stories. What happens is we start looking at life in this way, that change no longer frightens us. And instead of resisting or resenting it, we welcome it as God's gift. Think of Weight Watchers philosophy, where they say in their program, imagine what you will feel like, look like. Imagine what you'll be doing in the future. The vision that they help people dream about and even get a glimpse of that what is possible, it propels them to change. Paul understood that. He saw himself as a work in progress, a new creation still being shaped by God's mercy. His past no longer defined him. Here's what you were. Paul could point out and say, yes, that is what I was, but that's not who I am. And that's the beauty of it. Paul's future was secure in Christ because God's love is not going to suddenly pull the floor out from beneath him, suddenly change the situation, go, ah, surprise. I'm sorry, I was just kidding. God doesn't do that. No. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Overflowing mercy is at work. So it is with us. We too are growing. Our faith is strengthening. Our confidence in sharing Christ is deepening. It's getting easier to talk about the faith and love of God that's being poured inside of each of us day by day. I remember as a teenager being so moved by the new music that was coming out on the radio, because that's what I had until I had a job. And then I could buy albums. And okay, albums, the big round, play at 33 and a third speed on a turntable, platter, record player, needle comes down, sound comes out, speakers. Okay, I knew you needed me to go through that because... Excuse me? Too much information? Move on. As a teenager, I remember bragging about my next favorite release by my favorite group. And I remember the time spent as I talked about the details of loving their guitar work or maybe their drummer's style of playing. In the same way, when we are being loved by God and we are falling in love with God, we talk about the things that are our favorites. No longer are they musical groups, solo voices, but instead it's about what God's love is making a difference in your and my life. And every day it's easier to talk about this love that God is conjuring and stirring up within us. Christ in us is deepening. For Paul, there was something wrong with him. And in that something wrong, he grew to boast about it. Why? Because in his own weakness, Christ's strength could show and shine through. He had a thorn in the flesh, an illness, a struggle, baggage of some kind. We're not sure what it was. He reminds us to lean into God's mercy. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. What a promise. Paul talked about this thorn in the flesh of his that he struggled with. Was it something that got in the way of him speaking? Was it something that got in the way of him sleeping at night? We don't know. 3 times he went to God and said, "Please take this from me." And the answer each time he heard was, "In your weakness, my strength will show and shine through." So there are times when we are afflicted with something, something we didn't choose, but it's here, and we pray that that something will be gone away. What a promise that God's strength can show through where we are our weakest. Alzheimer's will not win. Strokes will not win. Cancer will not win. Overflowing mercy will have the final word here. In our own weakness, God's strength will shine through. So that brings us to today. And stop paying attention to the dog who's playing outside the window. Though it's cute as could be, you would love to run out and pet it or give it a nice little treat, I know. Over here, here we are. Brings us to today. Too many of us are trapped by our past. And if not that, perhaps we are anxious about our tomorrow. And as a result, we have difficulty rejoicing in the present where we are right now. But Paul shows us another way. He begins his testimony to Timothy by thanking God for Paul's own calling. Paul is fully engaged in the moment, and that's what overflowing mercy does. It roots us in gratitude for the now. I am here. I'm here on this trailhead, and all my days from here will be different than they have been in the past. Here's a modern picture of change. In 2004, the Boston Red Sox faced the New York Yankees. They had to win the American League Championship if they were to go on to the World Series. And why do I bring up a baseball game? Because it is baseball season. Though on your television, yes, football will appear, but it's still baseball season until the World Series is over, and then football season really is underway. Till then, I live in denial, and that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. So a baseball story, 2004, Boston Red Sox against the New York Yankees. They have already lost 3 games in a best of seven series. Now, for the Boston Red Sox, for 86 years, they have lived under a thing called the curse of the Bambino. The Bambino is who?
Babe Ruth.
86 years since the last time they went to the World Series and won. Every time they've gotten close, something goes wrong and they win a game, lose a game, and they're out of the playoffs. They're down by 3 games. The announcers start each of those games by saying, no team has ever come back from a 3-0 to an 0-3 series to then go ahead and win the series. But against all odds, the Boston Red Sox win the next 4 straight games. And then from there go on to face the St. Louis Cardinals in the World Series, and they win 4 games straight and take home the trophy. For the Boston Red Sox, the curse is over. Till then, every season, every preseason, as the team gathered, they lived under this curse and shadow that they would never be a winning team. They proved the world differently. In the season following the World Series, they came to preseason and the field laughing and joking because it was a new day for them. That's what Christ does for us. He lifts the curse. That's who you were. But that's not who you are today. Our past no longer defines us. Fear no longer binds us because of Christ's overflowing mercy. We, my friends, are free to live, free to hope, free to rejoice and dance in the grass. So what about you? What changes are you facing now? Is there a diagnosis? Is it the empty nest where once the kids filled the place with noise and now it's so quiet? Is it a job transition? Is it a wound from the past that still, yes, still aches? Overflowing mercy is for you. Hear this. Overflowing mercy is for you and for me. Mercy that forgives your past. Mercy that empowers your present. And mercy that secures your future. Mercy that turns change from something that we used to fear into something now we can celebrate. Imagine a new future. What can God do with this life? While there's breath in my lungs, while there's a chance to get up out of bed and get moving, what can God do with this one life? God has a future for you and for me. Paul's words to Timothy are words for us. He said, "I've received mercy." Wow, powerful words. So have we. So have you. And that mercy never runs dry. It keeps overflowing. Just like our pitcher pouring this into the bowl. So today, change is afoot. And rejoice. Rejoice. Welcome it. Thank God you are not who you used to be. Thank God you're not yet who you will be. Thank God for now. Thank God for the mercy that meets you in this moment. Because it's the power of overflowing mercy. God's love poured out and into our lives. Amen.
Next is the hymn, "Just As I Am Without One Plea."
Just as I am without one plea. smartest, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Next is the hymn, To God Be the Glory.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let us sing our final song.